Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, Sag Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
B. Mitch and Finley, 106.7 The Fan. You're listening right here on The Fan. You're streaming with us on YouTube. You're watching us on Monumental Sports Network. Wherever you get the content, we appreciate it.
Yeah, we're all over the place.
Excited to talk some college football. It's obviously the Commanders bye week. I want to catch up on all things college football. And I think the biggest news in the last few days is Virginia Tech making what to me is a really good hire. Helping us make sense of all of it is Grace Rayner. Grace covers college football for The Athletic. You can give her a follow at GM Rayner, R-A-Y-N-O-R. And Grace joins us via the Rude guest hotline. Rude makes the most reliable HVAC products in the DMV. Grace, how are you?
I'm doing well. How are you guys?
We are fantastic.
Thank you for the time today. Let's start with what I think is a home run hire for the Hokies in James Franklin. How does it work with Penn State? How fast does he hit the ground running in Blacksburg? And what do you think he can do for that Hokie program that has kind of faded to irrelevance?
Yeah, I'm with you. I think this is a home run hire for Virginia Tech. And I know we say that a lot in college football, right? He'll have his press conference tomorrow, and I'm sure he'll win the press conference. And we have a tendency to get ahead of ourselves in college football. But I really do think that this hire makes a ton of sense. This is a program that has such passion and a rich history, but to your point, has just been struggling for the last 15 years and just can't seem to get over the hump. And you take a guy like James Franklin, who has a ton of recruiting ties to this area. Honestly, Penn State recruited Virginia better than Virginia Tech did these past several years. He's a proven builder. We saw how he took Vanderbilt to 9 wins for the first time since, I think it was like 1915 in his second year there. It just makes a lot of sense. He knows how to win at the highest level. He comes from the Big Ten, so he knows what Virginia Tech is going to need from a resources and infrastructure standpoint. I think Virginia Tech they've got to feel pretty stoked about this hire.
How many years did he get in this deal that hadn't been released yet?
What's that? Oh, his contract details have not been released yet. Okay. We do know that his buyout from Penn State was going to be about $49 million, and I think it's gone down to $9 million with offsetting with the new job. So
wow. That
might give us a little hint into maybe what he's working with at Virginia Tech, but the details, at least as far as I know, I don't think we've seen the details yet.
Okay. So the money Penn State was on the hook for, whatever VTech guarantees, cancels off out of that, I guess?
Yeah, it'll offset. I think it was in his contract that if you get a new job, it will offset part of this buyout that we owe you. And then it went from 49 to 9. So I guess they negotiated that down after he signed the deal with Virginia Tech.
Is that maybe why Penn State wanted to make the firing early so that he could get, I mean, because he's an attractive candidate. Maybe they knew, hey, if we get this guy out there, he'll get snapped up quick.
I think Penn State went into this season thinking this was going to be their year, right? I mean, they've come so close, and the big knock on him is that he hasn't been able to win the big one.
Right.
And this was kind of supposed to be it. And they really invested in their roster, and they got all these guys to come back instead of going to the NFL or the portal. And so when it all fell apart for them in late September, early October, I think they were just as stunned as the rest of us. You know, you see Penn State lose that game to Oregon, and you think, okay, their playoff hopes are not over. This is still a team that can very much compete for a playoff spot. And then the wheels just absolutely fell off with the loss to UCLA and Northwestern in back-to-back weeks. So I think Penn State got to a point where they could no longer, I just think they didn't have enough faith in thinking that he could get over the hump. I mean, we all know his record against top 25 programs, against top 10. It's not good. He's, you know, that's the biggest knock on him, is he can't win the big one. And so I think they just got to the point where they just felt like, if it wasn't going to be this year, when was it going to be? And then it just was no longer tenable once those UCLA and Northwestern losses came in.
Yeah, I think the hype on Aller was far overblown, but whatever. What's done is done. There's so many musical chairs, and we're talking big programs, right? I want to get to Florida, LSU, all of it. But what does Penn State do now?
That's a great question. I think we're all really curious to see who Penn State hires, especially because you're right. This is a super saturated market. I mean, if you're in the market for a college football coach this season, good luck. You know, and I think if you're a team who's thinking about firing your coach, maybe you hold on and reassess it next year, because now you're competing with Florida, with LSU, with Auburn, Arkansas, Oklahoma State's open. I mean, there's just UCLA still hasn't been filled. And so there's just a ton of movement in this carousel. So I'm curious to see where Penn State goes. I would guess that this is a program that, obviously, they're a historic program. They're in the Big Ten. I would think that they could command a sitting head coach already. I'll be curious to see if they go the coordinator route or the NFL route, but certainly they've got the cachet to command a sitting head coach. But yeah, I'm really curious, because whoever does take that Penn State job is walking into a situation where expectations are really clear. I mean, James Franklin was winning double-digit games, and that wasn't enough. And so, and he was in the semifinals a year ago, a couple plays away from a national championship bid. So whoever does take that job is walking into a situation where this school, this program, is really demanding the best now.
Well, Grace, landscape has totally changed in college football. You can go and get the top-notch coaches. You better be willing to pay some players to come with them. Is Penn State set up well enough? Well, I think they are. They just don't like to spend it on the right people when in the NIL situation.
I think if you're in the Big Ten or the SEC, you're in great shape. Just looking at the landscape of college football, you want to be in one of those two conferences. But yeah, I mean, you look at Penn State's alumni base, it's one of the biggest in the country, right? Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, I would think that they would have all the resources they would need, everything they would need to be competitive. We saw them really invest in their roster this offseason. That's why they were able to retain so much of their talent. And so I think the investment is there. The resources are there. They just got to find the right person to see if they can get over the hump with some of these top 10 matchups and see if maybe they can take them to another championship.
Do you think Virginia Tech will spend the money they need to?
That, I think, is a really important question in all of this. Virginia Tech has come out and said that they are going to be investing $229 million into their budget plan over the next 4 years for the athletic department. And they've made it very clear that they want to make Virginia Tech one of the most competitive programs in the ACC. So the investment is there. I think there's been some questions about, well, why did it take this long for them to kind of buck up in that way, considering when the landscape started changing in 2019, 2020, 2021. Mm-hmm. But they certainly signaled that they want to be competitive. I think they've got a long way to go in terms of facilities. They don't have their own standalone facility right now. They're still sharing with some other sports. But this is a really passionate, you guys know, I mean, it's a really passionate fan base. And yes, it's a program that wants to give football everything it can, right? Like, it's a starving group of people that so badly want to see the Hokies competitive. And so I think they're willing to back Franklin, give him what he needs to the extent that they can.
So just real quick, one more local before we go down south. Maryland comes out, the AD Jim Smith. I loved how he handled it, just to come out and get in front of it and say, we're keeping locks, we're going to invest. What do you make of the Terps move, and how do they compete in the Big Ten?
Yeah, the Big Ten's tough, right? I mean, it's just a loaded conference, but I think it was, I think this is not the year, if you're kind of on the fence, right? Not the year to fire your coach, because it is so competitive. And so I can see why they say maybe we stick with him for another year. Maybe they don't have to compete with a million other schools to hire a new coach. I think what he's done on the recruiting trail has been really, really impressive. They've got the number two recruit in the country, committed to their class right now. He's a five-star defensive end. I think in your guys' neck of the woods, I think he's from D.C.
He's from Baltimore,
Baltimore, okay. Yep. So Zion's committed to them, and so I think that was a big part of it, too, is you just look at what he's done on the recruiting trail, and this is an impressive group. It's an impressive class, and if you're kind of on the fence and you're not quite sure what you want to do, I think keeping him, trying to keep this roster intact, keep your recruiting class intact, should hopefully help them.
Just as a Terp alum, it's like you got Auburn, LSU, Florida, Penn State, Arkansas is able to throw so much money. Like, this ain't the year to be shopping.
No, it's not.
In my mind.
So as you look at the two schools down there, Florida and LSU, who seems to be leading the way to become a coach of one of those schools?
Yeah, I think it's a good time to be Lane Kiffin, right? he seems to be the biggest candidate. We saw some reporting come out yesterday that Ole Miss is kind of ready for him to make a decision. I think they've given him a little bit of an ultimatum and want to have a decision from him by the Egg Bowl next week. Florida and LSU are courting him and the fam. Without knowing for certain how these administrators are thinking, I would guess if you're an SEC program, Lane Kiffin is probably your top choice, just given what he's done at Ole Miss and the way that he's built that program up and the way he recruits and uses the transfer portal. So I'm curious to see kind of where they go. Obviously, they're two huge jobs, right? They're in the SEC. There's a lot of history, two other schools that can command a pretty decent market. But Lane Kiffin does seem to be in the driver's seat for the carousel as well as where he stands with Ole Miss.
Dude, if I was Lane, isn't there something to – now, I know Oxford's a beautiful town, but I also know it's a small town. Isn't there something to just being the man there, doing something nobody's ever done there, rather than adding the pressure of LSU or Florida? Or is there just that much more money?
With a bigger paycheck, and you can make a name for yourself there, too?
Is there just that much more?
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
More money if he leaves.
I mean, I think that Ole Miss would, because Lane has done so much at Ole Miss, like, I would be surprised if they didn't match whatever offer he was given elsewhere. Now, he has said in the past, it's actually not so much about how much you're making as a coach, but how much money do you now have for a roster? But Lane has made it very clear he loves Oxford and he's really happy there. His family's moved there. He's gotten the chance to see his kids for the first time in a long time. His son Knox is a high school quarterback in Oxford who's playing really well. His daughter Landry is a student at Ole Miss. His family lives in Oxford now. And so you see, obviously we've seen Lane Kiffin go through so much, right? I mean, this guy has really gone through a lot in his life, but he does seem to be happy, calm. You can just see the difference in his demeanor. So I'm curious if that's enough to keep him there, but you can tell he is really happy there.
Yeah, I remember hearing Nick Saban saying he wasn't leaving Alabama. LSU. And
he also wasn't going to leave the Dolphins.
Hey, I was just saying, money talk. All these coaches can say what they want. You put a little bit more money, give them a little bit more control, they will leave anywhere.
It does. I think a lot of these coaches want to know, what are we working with from an NIL standpoint and from a standpoint of how much can we invest in our roster? Because that's where college football is right now, right? Yeah. If you don't invest, you can't compete. And that's totally just the reality of where we are.
So let's just operate from a place. We're talking with Grace Rayner from The Athletic. You can give Grace a follow at GM Rayner. Covers college football for The Athletic. Does a great job. Let's just operate from a place of Lane stays at Ole Miss. Obviously, LSU, Florida are huge jobs. Auburn's a big job. I think Arkansas, between Walmart and the chicken people, the amount of money Arkansas can throw around is pretty significant. Yeah. what is the best job and who becomes the best candidate? Like, is the Vanderbilt dude going to leave North Texas, the JMU coach? Like, or is it some hot assistant, Brian Hartline at Ohio State? Like, how does it continue to shift if Lane sticks?
Yeah, I think from there they all sort of figure out, all right, we're going to reset, and if Lane stays put, who are we going to next? I think the JMU coach is a hot candidate, Bob Chesney. There's been some buzz for him in UCLA, I believe. Alex Golish at USF has done a good job. To your point, Brian Hartline, yeah. It's just, I think it's an interesting time in the carousel because in some ways, a lot of these coaches are just kind of playing musical jobs, right? There's so many openings, there's also so many sitting head coaches who are now trying to go get a job again. And so I'll be curious to see, do people go the coordinator route or are they going to try to go the sitting head coach route? I mean, Brian Kelly, Billy Napier, these guys are also on the market right now. Do they get big time jobs? Do they have to take a smaller job? So, I'm just as fascinated as you guys are. I think Chesney is a really fascinating candidate. I think one of the things that will be super interesting will be whoever takes over these big time jobs, whether they're coming from a group of five or they're coming from a coordinator position, do they have the leverage and the confidence and the knowledge they need to really spar with the administration when they need to about this is what I need, these are the resources that I need. That's where a sitting head coach can really come in handy. They kind of understand how this works and what they need.
Is Billy Napier still a big name? I know he was at UL, he was winning a lot of games. Went to Florida, he never reached what they wanted him to reach. I don't see. Do you think another school of Florida's caliber would say, hey, come get a shot over here?
I don't think so. I think I had to guess, I would guess Napier probably has to take a step back. I think he was at, there were some reports the other day, he was hanging out at Georgia for a little bit. He and Kirby are pals. But yeah, I don't know that I would see Napier becoming another Power 5 head coach. Florida has had just so many struggles, and they had obviously that big win against Texas, and they recruited decently well. But yeah, I would imagine that he's probably going to have to take a little bit of a step back.
Any chance Urban or Saban come back?
I would be very surprised.
On either?
On either, I would. Saban seems to be living his best life on College game day. he's got nothing else to prove. He retired right as college football was going through so much of these changes, right? I mean, so much of his job.
B likes to say he ran away.
That's fair.
I think he did.
It's different. It's just a completely different job now. And so, so much of it is, and we've seen it with the portal, with conference realignment, so much of it is what conference are you in? How much resources does your donor base have? Do you have the money you need to get the players you want? And so in some ways, the actual coaching is now taking a little bit of a back seat to just being a CEO. And so Saban seems to be living his best life. I love watching him on game day. He's got his national championships. I would be very surprised if he came back. I haven't really heard much about Urban. I guess maybe never say never with anything in college football or anything in sports in general. I mean, I never thought Bill Belichick would be in the ACC this time a year ago. So, you know, we've seen crazier things happen, but I would be surprised to see either of them back in college football.
He ran, Jay. This is the thing. I always have an issue when people have control over everything, they gung-ho. When they lose a little bit of it and they have to do the same things their players have to do, they seem to hightail. That's running. Whether it's Saban,
it is shifting,
or whoever.
Yeah.
Listen, when that pressure changed, where now the pressure's on him to have to compete with everybody, had the same level playing field, he said, okay, I retire now.
One more that I'm interested in. Any chance Marcus Freeman would leave Notre Dame? I imagine he would be the absolute hottest candidate available.
For who?
I would imagine he would also be a great candidate. I haven't heard anything about Freeman potentially leaving. He's got quite a nice setup at Notre Dame. I mean, they've maintained their independence. They've obviously got every resource in the world. Freeman is an Ohio State grad, and Ohio State doesn't seem to be opening up anytime soon. So that one would surprise me. They're making a college football playoff push right now. I think he's a really good fit in South Bend. I think that fan base likes him a lot, and he's definitely got a good thing going.
Yeah. What to you is the best open job?
Ooh, that's a great question. I think 2 weeks ago, before the governor of Louisiana got involved, I probably would have said LSU. And then the governor got involved, and the school's administration was kind of a mess, and it definitely raised some red flags about alignment and just kind of what's going on here, and why is the government the governor having a press conference where he's talking about how the athletic director won't be hiring the next football coach?
Why they fired that guy?
Fired. Yeah.
So he should have never gave. He should have never gave what's called a 10-year deal off the bat.
So I think LSU is a little less attractive than I thought it was a couple weeks ago. So I think I would say Florida. You're in the SEC, you've got the resources, and you're in a really fertile area for recruiting. So I think if I was a sitting head coach, Gainesville is a lovely place to live, and there's no state income tax in Florida. So I think that'd be my pick if I was a sitting head coach.
And then lastly, and we may not have time for this, but what the hell is this Big Ten private equity, Michigan and USC are trying to sue their way out? Like, what is going on with that?
That is a great question that I need to read up on myself, because I saw a couple of headlines about that yesterday. I haven't fully dived into that yet, but that is college football in 2025, right? It's just ever changing. People are always looking for new avenues and new ways to generate revenue. This is just kind of where we are right now. But yeah, I myself need to do my homework on that.
What a world. Well, thank you, Grace. For the, you know what's crazy?
USC just got there, right?
Right.
We just already trying to go.
We just did more than 20 minutes talking college football, and we didn't talk a single thing about a game, like about a game this weekend. How good is Ohio State?
We're talking about the game before the game,
right?
Yeah,
the coach is getting their cheddar
right now. Yeah, it's that's what I think has made college football so entertaining and like must see. It's just such a spectacle at all times. It is. There's nothing like it, and it's a. It's the most lovable circus in town.
If you're going to compete with the NFL, you got to be as crazy as they are.
Yeah. You think anybody beats Ohio State on the field?
I think it's going to be tough. I'm really curious to see how Indiana and Ohio State would maybe match up. But, yeah, I mean, I think Ohio State this year has been the least talked about number one team in the country that I can remember in a while. They are just an absolute machine that we almost have just kind of focused on other teams elsewhere because they've been that good. So I've got my money on Ohio State. If I'm a better, I'm probably putting my money down on the Buckeyes.
Yeah, it's smart. They got to beat Michigan, though. I mean, that continues
to be.
That's
true. They do have to beat Michigan. Ryan Day cannot lose to Michigan again.
No. Hey, Grace, thank you so much for your time. Thanks, we'd love to do it again sometime.
Yeah, thank y'all so much for having me. Y'all have a good one.
Appreciate it.
All right. Grace Raynor, give her a follow at GM Raynor, RAYNOR. Kind enough to join us via the Rude Guest Hotline. We got to talk a little bit more Washington. It's a bye week, but there's plenty to discuss with these Commanders. Nobody go anywhere.
Hey, it's B. Mitch here. FanDuel is the number one sportsbook for same-game parlays. From points and rebounds to threes and assists, FanDuel is the best place to combine your favorite picks into a same-game parlay or track every stat live, all in one easy-to-use app. And right now is the perfect time to join, because new customers get $150 in bonus bets if your first $5 bet wins. So bet on the players you love the way you want. Head to FanDuel.com/Brian to sign up today. FanDuel, official sports betting partner of the NBA. FanDuel Sportsbook with the official sportsbook of 106.7 The Fan. You have to be 21 years old and present in Virginia. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. Bonus issued as a non-withdrawable bonus bet, which expires 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. TNCs apply. In-app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.